morning, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well. Today we're going to summarize Sefer Yehoshua Perek Yates for the last number of Prakim since Perek Gimel. We've been dealing with the Chalukah, the division of the land of Israel, among all the different Shvatim. So we started with Yehuda, and we went along to Yosef. We hit Binyamin along the way. We, of course, dealt with Reuven, Gad, and the other half of the Shevet of Menashe. And in Perek Yates, we're going to talk about the other six Shvatim, Shimon, Zvulun, Yisachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. And we give about 8 psukim to each one of them. Not really as much as we gave. We gave whole prakim to Yehuda, Yosef, and Binyamin. And the borders over here are not described in terms of lines and landmarks like the last 3 prakim, but rather they're presented as specific places, the towns, the villages that were going to be taken on by each and every Shevet. We start off with the Shevet of Shimon, and we discover that the area of the Shevet of Shimon falls within the borders of the area that belongs to Yehuda. In other words, Shimon doesn't get his own independent area. He becomes sort of swallowed up with the much larger and powerful Shevet Yehuda. And Shimon basically gets a bunch of towns within the southern area of Yehuda, which is mostly Negev. It's mostly the dry lands of the desert. Rabbi Michael Hatton likes to point out that we see the difference, we see the change, didn't really change that much from the time of Yaakov Avinu's bracha. When Yaakov was on his deathbed, he curses Shimon and Levi. Why is that? Because they attacked the city of Shechem. And when he deals with them, Yaakov says, "Achalkein bi Yaakov, afitzein bi Yisrael. I'll divide them in Yaakov. I'll scatter them in Am Yisrael." Because when they're left alone to their own devices, they have the ability to cause a tremendous amount of damage. We know that even Shevet Levi winds up getting an even more diffuse inheritance, and we'll see that they're only going to get Ari Halavim and Hashemu Nachalasam, that God serves as their primary Nachala, but to have a stronghold identified as their own, both Shevet Yehuda and both Shevet Shimon and Shevet Levi both don't have the ability. So Rabbi Hatton highlights yet another very important lesson to be gained here at the beginning of Perek Yates. And what's that? The moral choices made by individual human beings, like Shimon, reverberate not only during their own lifetimes, but far into the future as well. In Tanakh, we often identify, specifically in Sefer Bereishis, we've often identified this idea as Ma'asa Avos Simon Labanim. And often the effects of our actions seem to us to become much more muted and insignificant within the passing of time. But here we see that that doesn't wind up happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he divides up the land, he keeps it very, very strong. And that's one of the key lessons here in Perek Yates to pay attention to. We then go on to talk about the rest of the Shvatim, most of them getting the areas in the north. Zvulun gets the area west of the Yam Kineret, which includes Har Tavor, and they continue westward until the coast of the Mediterranean, the Yam HaGadol near Akko. And this is continuing with Yaakov's brachos, Zvulun l'chof yamim yishkon, that Zvulun is going to dwell next to the sea coast. And of course, we know Zvulun was the seafarer. And Yisachar comes next thereafter. And we see he gets a very fertile piece of land, Emek Yisrael, which was not only an important agricultural asset, but Yisachar winds up holding on to Emek Yisrael as a strategic one. It is the most traveled route from Egypt to Mesopotamia, and in order to be able to travel one way versus another, one needs to go through Yisachar. So to control Emek Yisrael was to control the major trade routes of the region. And that area also, we'll see, as we move into Sefer Shoftim, it becomes a very large basis for many of the battles that the Jews are going to deal with. So we've dealt with Shimon and Yisachar and Zvulun, and now we move on to Shevet Asher, who gets this huge piece of land along the coast. Some of the most important towns, like Tsoar and Sidon, which are important to the Phoenicians. And most of that, unfortunately, though, doesn't exactly wind up getting inherited and settled very, very well. Naphtali takes the land of the east of Shevet Asher, and their territory becomes the Galil Elyon, including the Chula Valley, which was very, very fertile, and some of the area that surges at the foothills of Har Hermon. And then the last, as is generally the case, the last of the Shvatim to receive his Chelek is the Shevet of Dan. As we know, Dan gets known as Ma'asef L'chol HaMachanos. He becomes known as the gatherer, the last of all the Shvatim. And Dan's portion is bordered by Binyamin to his east, Yehuda to his south, and Ephraim to his north, and of course the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean at the west, which is in the area of Yafo, which is, therefore, what we call today the Dan region of Tel Aviv and the services and the suburbs, you know, where the Dan bus line continues to run today. And Shevet Dan wasn't so successful at settling its own territory, which is something very, very important. Of course, some of Shevet Dan moves very far north, and they try to take over an area known as Leshem or Laish, east of the Jordan River. We'll see that in Sefer Shoftim when we get to Perek Yud Ches. But Dan also winds up with a certain area that's identified with the Banyas, which is beautiful, and a beautiful hike, by the way, but it borders the Golan Heights. And Moshe's remark that Dan, Gorayi, is Anik Ben Abashan, that Dan is a young lion darting forth from the Bashan, that gets fulfilled. It refers to the rushing area of the Jordan River that shoots out at Laish, which is like a small lion. So the area of Dan, which is this new settled area, this northern area, will become known as the extremity of Malchus Yisrael, and its southern limits go all the way down to Beersheba. We'll talk about Midan v'ad Beersheba. So those are the six Shvatim who take over Nachala in today's parak. There's one last thing that has to happen. After giving out all the Shvatim, they turn to Yehoshua, and Yehoshua requests something in return. And the Bnei Yisrael, by using the word of Hashem, they give him that which he requests, which is the city of Timnat Serach in Har Ephraim. And he builds the city, and he lives in the city. And that is the part, the parak says as it closes, these are all the areas that were distributed by Elazar, Yehoshua, and the tribal leaders, together with the Goral, in front of Hashem, at the beginning and the entrance of Ohel Moed. Again, all the elements were there. When we make decisions of major import, we have to make sure to get input from the Kohanim, the spiritual leaders, from the executive leaders, the Yehoshua and the Rosh Shvatim, and of course the Goralos, the lots that get done in front of Hashem, because a lottery in front of Hashem is not a game of chance. Instead, those lotteries are an opportunity for us to understand what Hashem really wants and gives us insight from within. That is today's perek, and I hope you all enjoy. Tomorrow, we will return and resume when we start talking about what happened after Bnei Yisrael got their chaylek, what happens with the rest of Sefer Yehoshua. Have a great, wonderful day.